God. Lord, you bless us every day in so many ways, God. And Lord, I know within my heart that today you want to speak to each one of us. You want to connect with each one of us. And so, Father, I pray that by your Spirit, you will reach every heart that's here. That when we leave here today, we will have had a true encounter with the one true, living, powerful God. And so, God, I thank you right now for what you're about to do. I ask for your anointing, your blessing upon this time. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, today we're going to continue the teaching series that we started 2 weeks ago, entitled God at the Movies. And God at the Movies is where we look at movie clips from recent popular movies, and we look for spiritual truths within those movies. As always, I have two disclaimers. The first disclaimer, I am not endorsing any movie that we cover during our series. I'm not endorsing any of the movies. So just because we cover a movie and we talk about it and we spend Sunday, you know, focusing on it, is not my endorsement. It's not my telling you, you should go and rent this movie and watch this movie. That's not what I'm doing. Part of the reason is because I'm purposely picking secular movies, popular movies that have been out in the theater, and looking for spiritual truth. Though I don't cover any R-rated movies because I don't watch R-rated movies. Second disclaimer is if you haven't seen the movie yet, I'm probably going to spoil it for you in some way or another. Okay? So, two disclaimers ahead of time. Don't get mad at me. No emails, no letters, no eggs on my car or anything like that. All right. So, let's do a quick review. Part one of the series was entitled Wait and See. And the movie that we covered was the movie Hidden Figures. And we talked about two essentials to living a life of hope. Living a life of hope. The first essential was to focus on the fact that we are a new creation in Christ. That God's focusing on us, on us realizing that we've been created anew in Christ. Every day is a new day, new opportunities. The second essential was to keep doing the things that you're good at, to recognize the gifts, the abilities that God has placed within you, and utilize those, because God uses those to bring promotion and blessing in your life, to bring hope to your life. Last week in part two, we focused on filling other people's lives with hope. And the movie that we focused on was The Zookeeper's Wife, the true story of the couple from Poland who rescued 300 Jews and used their zoo as a cover, and they brought hope to over 300 people. We started last week with a quote from Mark Twain, if you guys remember that. And this quote was what we really based everything that we talked about last week on, where Mark Twain said, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So sail away from the safe harbor. And while, you know, we could end up feeling this way about the things that we didn't do about ourselves or for ourselves, I think mainly it will be things that we didn't do for other people. Things that we didn't do for others. Things that we didn't do to make the world better. Things that we didn't do to be more of a blessing to other people beyond ourselves. And so that was really what we focused on. Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 10, Paul writes, "For it's by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And so that was really our focus last week. Every single one of us has been created by God to do good things, to be a blessing to others beyond just ourselves. One of my favorite quotes is from Pastor Ray Johnson, just down the hill. He said, "I believe the smartest thing you can do with your life is to make things happen that wouldn't have existed without you." And that's the opportunity that we have as the church to create, to do things that wouldn't have happened if we weren't here. That's why celebration exists. We're here for that very, very purpose, so that we would love God, love people, and make Jesus visible, to make things happen, to be a blessing to people, that to do things that wouldn't have happened for people if we weren't here. So we ended last week with the idea of that good deeds lead to goodwill, which then will lead people to be open to hear the good news of Jesus. And so that was what we focused on last week. Today, today's message is entitled "The Key to Be Free." The key to be free. And our movie today, dun, 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 is Kong, Skull Island. And you guys were like, "I thought we were going to church today." Kong, Skull Island is our movie today. Now, here's another disclaimer. I'm going to maybe touch some sensitive areas here today. I might step on a few toes. Not on purpose. I'm doing it because I love you and I care about you. And because what I have to say to you today is so incredibly important. And what I have to say to you today will help you in ways beyond measure. Amen. If you will receive, if you will receive it. So, in this movie, King Kong literally destroys any other giant creature that's on this island. Nothing can stand against Kong. His might, his power, his strength is beyond measure. And literally every creature on this island, and there are many of them, many monstrous creatures, none of them can stand against Kong. But there's one thing that ends up being able to bring Kong down. One thing that could destroy the mighty Kong. One thing, and it was inside of one man. And that one thing may be inside of you right now. And if it's not inside of you right now, it could be, it could come inside of you an hour from now, tomorrow, next week, next year, because it's something that we all deal with. This one thing can start off very, very small. But if it's left unchecked, it will grow and grow and grow. And it can grow to become a destructive force, powerful enough to destroy King Kong. And this is the spiritual truth that I see when I watched that movie. The spiritual truth is this. This is really the message of the movie, whether the people that made it realize it or not. The message of the movie was, if you think King Kong is scary, even Kong was afraid of this one thing that's inside of one man. King Kong was defeated in this movie. He was defeated. He was nearly destroyed by the bitterness and unforgiveness of one man. So what I want to do today is I want to show you guys three scenes from this movie. This first scene is going to introduce you to this man and how this started, how this one man single-handedly brought down King Kong, and how it all started. And then I want to show you three things that I see in this movie. So Adam, are you ready? All right, he needs a little bit of a head start. So go ahead and get the head start going. But this first scene you're going to see, you're going to be introduced to this man who you're going to see later on, literally, single-handedly brought down King Kong.
Sir?
Chaplain?
You need anything, sir?
All good.
Roger that.
So what are you gonna do when you get back to the world, Chaplain?
Oh, I'm already set up with Eastern Airlines. Grace and Billy all moved in Atlanta, just waiting on me. What about you, sir?
All this for what?
Sir?
Get out of here, Chapman. Go have some fun.
Is everything okay?
Tip top.
So here's the first thing that I see. The first thing is, and this is the first essential, I think, if you want to overcome, if you want to be free. First thing is this, is to get up and get moving. Get up and get moving. The reality is that every single one of us in this room have had unfair and unjust things happen to us. We all get hurt. We all have emotional wounds, emotional scars. And those wounds, those hurts, produce questions. The why questions. Why this? Why that? Why me? And sometimes, no matter how much we dwell on the questions, we still can't find an answer. I just don't understand. And our conversations with our friends are centered around, I just don't get it. I just don't understand. Why? Why this? Why that? Why me? And in the movie, in that scene, the colonel, he's a decorated war veteran. He's given his all for his country during the Vietnam War. He sacrificed a lot. And I could really understand that because my dad did 2 1-year tours of Vietnam. And he had some of those same medals that we see in that scene in that box. My dad had those same medals. And my dad had a lot of the same questions. When this man in the movie, now he's been told that the war is over for them. They're coming back to the United States without having finished what they started. And he says in that scene, all this for what? For what? And maybe you felt that way at some point in your life about something. Maybe it was a relationship. All this time, all this effort, everything that I did, for what? Or maybe it was a job. Or it could be anything. All this? I did all that? For what? And when we get to that place, when it's all the questions, all the whys, and I don't understand, we have to understand our emotions follow our thoughts. Your emotions follow your thoughts. So if we keep dwelling on the questions, if we keep thinking about the questions, if we keep focusing on the questions, it's only going to produce negative emotions, negative feelings, negative attitudes, negative perspectives, negative conversations. When we get in this endless loop of why did this happen? Why did this happen? I need an answer. It just produces negative attitudes and emotions and conversations. And all of our conversations with our friends are, I don't get it. You know, I've been thinking about this. In John chapter 5, Jesus had an encounter with someone. Some of you guys may be familiar with this. In John chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, it says, sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. And now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, Do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred while I'm trying to get in. Someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. This story is really, really amazing. Jesus walks up to this man. He's been an invalid for 38 years. And he asks him a straightforward question. Do you want to get well? But again, this man's been an invalid for 38 years. And all that he has thought about for 38 years has been his problem. You know why I know that? Because when Jesus asked him, do you want to get well? His answer, instead of answering Jesus' question, because he doesn't answer Jesus' question. Instead of answering the question, he immediately launched into his past problems. Yep. Wow. I'm all alone. Problem. No one helps me. Problem. Other people have let me down. Problem. No one helps me. Other people always get ahead of me. Problem. Things never work out for me. Problem. Now, when I saw his response, I thought Jesus would get down on one knee with the man and take his hands in his and go, "Oh my gosh, I am so sorry. Tell me more." But that's not what Jesus did. To my total surprise, instead, Jesus said, "Get up!" You see the exclamation point on there, right? It wasn't, "Just please get up. It's okay." He said, "Get up!" Basically, if you're serious about getting well, get up off the ground, pick up your mat, and get on your way. Amen. Get moving with your life. Woo! Can I say it?
Yes, you can.
That's what Jesus is saying to you and I, too.
Amen. That's right.
Stop staring into that box of past hurts, questions, even your past achievements. "I used to be a contender." Close the drawer.
Amen.
And move on to the next chapter of your life. Get up and get moving. The second thing I see in this movie, a bitter root causes bitter fruit.
Amen.
A bitter root causes bitter fruit. The Bible says not to let our anger, not to let the sun go down on our anger. In other words, we're to forgive quickly. Quickly, we are to forgive. The longer you hold on to hurt, the longer you hold on to unforgiveness, the harder it gets to get past it, to overcome it. Hebrews 12, verses 14 through 15 says, "Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile or contaminate many people." Adam, are you ready for scene two? So in this next scene, you're going to see how this bitterness that started with just that simple hurt in that first scene has now grown bigger in his life.
"Lieutenant, we're going to get him home, sir. We follow this river, we'll make it to the boat, and we'll make it to the North Shore in time."
"That sounds good. But we're not leaving yet. Still got a man out there, Conrad."
"Wait a second, you got someone out there?"
"Chapman. He's with the Down Sea Stallion, just west of here."
"West? We can't go west. That's where those skull things live. We have an old saying here, east is best, west is worst. That's why we say it. You know, southwest? We can talk about that, but you're going to need a lot more guns if you're going to go west."
"Guys, I think that we should listen to Marlo. This is crazy."
"Hey, your job is finding lost men, right?"
"Okay, sir. But if we reach that position and he's not there, we don't send out a search party. We're back here by nightfall, understood? In 24 hours, we have to be on the other side of this island."
"Roger that. Hear you loud and clear."
"All right, you heard the man. Moving out in 10.
It's a good group of boys. We're all going to die together out here. You're a good group of boys to die with, I'll tell you that much." "You shouldn't have come here."
"Don't forget to tell me this is a bad idea."
"This is a bad idea."
So now the colonel's no longer in his office with his thoughts. Now his hurt, his unforgiveness has now become bitterness, and it's beginning to affect and infect other people because a bitter root causes bitter fruit. We all know that a root starts underground. where it's unseen. And in the same way, bitterness starts inside of us, unseen by others at first, but if we don't deal with it, it grows up and grows out and then contaminates other people. From 1942 till 1953, the Hooker Chemical Company buried over 21,000 tons of hazardous chemicals at a place near Niagara Falls, New York. And they buried it deep enough down and in a way, and then they capped it in some way to where they felt like it would be safe. And then over the years, neighborhoods began to develop in that area near Niagara Falls. But in 1977, those chemicals began to seep up through the soil and the ground, the groundwater, and literally began to seep up into people's yards. Many people got sick. A number of people died. The next year, President Carter called that whole area, determined it was a disaster zone. They evacuated over 900 families. There were lawsuits that are still going on to this day. What happened? No matter how deep they tried to bury that toxic stuff, it eventually worked its way up to the surface and contaminated others. I tell you, you are not strong enough to keep toxic bitterness buried down in your life. You're not strong enough. That stuff is strong enough to kill King Kong. So you need help. I need help from someone bigger and stronger than we are. You have to give that bitterness to God. Forgiveness is the key to be free. It's the key to be free. Last scene. You ready? Ramp it up.
That thing that just shredded us was only the first of them. Now we're on their turf, and we need to turn back. Toot sweet!
Not as long as Chapman's still out there.
I'm sorry, Colonel Packett. Chapman is dead.
Doesn't change a thing. We're still going to that crash site.
What's at that crash site that you want so badly?
Weapons! Enough to kill it!
Kong didn't kill Chapman.
But he did kill these men. My men.
You can't kill Kong, Colonel. Kong is God on this island. He's the only thing keeping them lizard things in the ground.
He's right, Colonel. We can't kill Kong. Now, that other creature, that's the threat. And there are more of them down there. If you take away a species' natural competition, they'll proliferate out of control.
Then we'll end them, too, after we bring this thing down.
I can't let you do that, Colonel.
Whoa, hold your fire! This is one war we are not gonna lose.
Nuts! You hear me? This is nuts!
Please! You need to listen to us!
He said, this is one war we're not gonna lose. Referencing back to scene one. So the third thing that I see from this movie, my advice to everybody, let yourself out of prison. Let yourself out of prison. You can either hold on to hurt or you can let it go, confident that God will make it up to you. You can either hold on to it or you can let it go with the confidence that God will make it up to you. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. Says, do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And in Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 17, Paul writes, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." If you've locked yourself up in that prison of hurt, unforgiveness, bitterness, the key to freedom is to turn all of that over to God. Let God deal with it His way. If you try to pay people back, you close the door for God to handle it. I want to share a story with you guys. This is something that happened back in the 80s, and I'm just going to read through some of this. It's an amazing story. He says, each week, Kevin Tennell is required to mail a dollar to a family he'd rather forget. His family sued him for $1.5 million, but they settled for only $936 to be paid back $1 at a time. The family expects the payment each Friday, so Kevin Tennell won't forget what happened on the first Friday of 1982. That's the day their daughter was killed. Tennell was convicted of manslaughter and drunken driving. He was 17 at the time, and she was 18. Tennell served a court sentence. He also spent 7 years campaigning against drunk driving, which was 6 years more than his sentence required, but he keeps forgetting to send the dollar. The weekly restitution was to last until the year 2000, which would be 18 years. Tunnel makes the check out to the victim, mails it to her family, and the money is deposited in a scholarship fund. The family has taken him to court 4 times for failure to comply. After the most recent appearance, Tennell spent 30 days in jail. He insists that he's not defying the order, but rather he's haunted by the girl's death, tormented by the reminders. He offered the family 2 boxes of checks covering the payments until the year, even past the year, to the year 2001. 1 year more than required. They refused. It's not the money they seek, but penance. The mother said this, "We want to receive the check every week on time. He must understand we are going to pursue this until August of the year 2000. We will go back to court every month if we have to." Who's in prison now in this story? Because in reality, there's no amount of penance that's going to change their situation. You can either hold on to hurt, or you can let it go, give it to God, knowing with confidence that He will make it up to you. So that means if someone's saying nasty things about you, your attitude could be, no big deal. God will handle that situation. If you ever get cheated, if you've ever been cheated by someone for some reason, no big deal. God's got me covered. He'll pay me back double. Yeah. If people are mean to you at work or at school, hey, no big deal. God will handle that. Because when you understand that God will defend you, God will protect you, God will make your wrongs right. When you understand that, you don't have to fix everything. You don't have to manage and manipulate everything. You don't have to worry about payback and revenge and I'm gonna take care of this myself. You don't have to get all upset. You don't have to keep that ledger that we all keep, you know, that ledger of fairness that we keep in our heads. You know, that person didn't say hi to me. I make a note of that. August 5th, 11:35. And then later on, you know, when your attitude's all funky, people are like, hey, is something wrong with you? Well, as a matter of fact, it says here that you don't have to keep that ledger anymore. Because when you know that God will fight your battles, that He'll make your wrongs right, you can live with confidence. You can have joy. You can walk around with a big smile on your face because you'll be free. You'll be out of prison. Turn all of that stuff over to God because that is the key to freedom. You guys bow your heads. Lord God, I pray that you will seal your word in our hearts today. I pray that we would all leave here today having truly thought through, made sure, God, that there's no bitterness, no unforgiveness in our hearts. And that, God, that you will, for those of us that are struggling in this area, that, Lord, that you will help us, that by your grace, you will show us the way to freedom. With every head bowed, I want to give you first of all an opportunity. If you've not made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you can make that decision today. Even as Pastor Ed talked about earlier, this is where everything starts. This is where all the blessing, all the benefits, true freedom begins when we have a true relationship with Jesus. And so if you're here today, and if you've not made that decision, and you want to make that decision today, you want to surrender your life to Him and say, God, take control. Take control of my life. Take control. If that's you, would you just lift your hand right now just to indicate that's a decision that you want to make either for the first time or a time of rededicating? Amen. 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 Those of you that raised your hands, I just want to lead you in a simple prayer of faith. And if you believe, if this is truly your heart, then God says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You will be saved. Your name will be written in the book of life. The Spirit of God will come into your heart and will guide you and help you and strengthen you and give you direction and heal you. He'll heal those hurts. He'll heal those pains. God has the power to remove the addictions, to remove the patterns, the negative and destructive patterns of our lives. God's big enough to do that. So church, will you pray with me out loud and say, dear God, I come to you now and I surrender my heart. I surrender every part of my life to you. Jesus, I believe you are the Lord, the Savior of the world. And so forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. and take control. Be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, I want to ask you, have you locked yourself into that prison of unforgiveness or bitterness? Have you locked yourself into that endless loop of why? I don't understand. Why? Has that bitterness, has that root now affecting other people? And do you want to be free? Do you want to turn? Are you willing to turn all of that over to God? Confident, believing, trusting that He will make whatever happened to you, He will make it up to you. And so if that's you today, would you just lift your hand right now? Because I just want to give you a time between you and the Lord to work through this, to begin this process. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just, between you and the Lord, just begin to just say, God, you know what happened to me. You know what they did or what they didn't do. You know the situation. And God, I'm choosing to turn this over to you. I'm choosing now to give it to you. And I ask that you would make it up to me. That you would make that wrong right. That you would pay me back for what happened. That I would experience the goodness, the blessing, the freedom that comes by trusting you. Father God, I lift up all those that have raised their hands all over this room. All those that are doing business with you right now. Father, I pray for your grace, your mercy, your power, God. I know, Lord, that you have waited for this moment and that now you are ready to move. You are ready to move on behalf of your people. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that there would be tremendous reports, great reports, good news, God, of the ways that you have worked in the lives of your people today. We thank you, God, that your word brings freedom. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so, God, we praise you for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You got to give God praise. Hallelujah. At the end of our service today, if you need prayer about whatever it is that's happened or that's going on, whatever your struggle might be in regards to this, be sure and come forward after church, and our prayer team will be here. Pastor Luann and I will be here. But this is really, really important, and because I really want to see you guys free. Amen? Amen. Well, in just a moment, our greeters are going to come and pass the offering bags down the aisles. This is a time for us to give to the Lord. It's a time for us to really check our hearts, because part of being surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus is generosity. God's working in all of our lives. And so part of our faith, part of our trusting God is with our finances. And so I want to pray for each one of us that our hearts would be totally in alignment with God and His plans and everything that He has for us, and that God's blessing would be upon you. Father, we thank you again for your great love, how you provide for each one of us. And so, Father, I pray that you will bless your people. That, Lord, you will help us to continue to grow in our faith towards you and in our generosity, not only in obedience to you, but just in our generosity overall. I pray that you bless your people. I thank you, Lord. Enable us as a church to continue to be a blessing to our community in Jesus' name. Amen.